Steve, and because you all have a natural concern about people, and believe me, believe it or not, so do I. Somebody always comes around and says, why'd they leave? I can always speculate and make guesses, and that's all I do is just speculate and make guesses. And so I tell people I don't know. Most of the people that have left here, well, when the Dobbins family left, Pete and Betty never told me why they left. They just left. But that's the way people ought to leave. There weren't any hard words. They didn't jump on me. They didn't chew me out. I don't know why they left to this day. That's the way it ought to be if that's what they want. And then later on when Clarence and Lola Pemberton left, I can speculate and tell you why I think they left. But why speculate? I don't know. They never came to me and told me why. And that's really the way people ought to leave. I could go down a whole long list of people. And I may be wrong because I am getting older and my memory is faulty. So if you find out I've told you a fib, I did it in ignorance. I don't believe anyone has ever left this church, just all of a sudden didn't show up anymore, that ever came and told me why. Now there may be some exceptions. I don't think so. In 18 years, nobody has ever come to me and said, Brother McElmurray, we're leaving here because we don't like you. We don't like so-and-so. We don't like the way this is done. We don't like the way that's done. Well, it's pretty apparent that people are not happy with the way something is done, or they don't feel at rest here or something. But so help me, they never tell me why. Maybe they feel it wouldn't do any good. I don't know. But the good thing is, they don't ever cause a problem or a fuss or chew me out or say nasty things about any of you, and they're just gone one day. So when I present what I present tonight, don't think I'm trying to present this as a special case to show you why the people I mentioned left, because I told you the truth. I don't know why they left. In the course of time that I've been here, and these questions that stir around through the church after something happens, they say, wonder why they quit coming. It's just natural, and I expect people to be curious. And people ought to be curious. People ought to be concerned about it. And what are we doing wrong, or what this or that? And maybe old Inspector Number 36, when he checked me out, maybe he didn't do too good a job. But in any case, I'm just going to show you a reason that some people leave. So help me, I'm not trying to tie it to any of them. That's why I went through all this to start with. Now, this isn't the things I'm going to show you. This isn't the reason that everybody who's ever left here left. This isn't the reason that all the people aren't here tonight. So if you think I'm taking pot shots at anybody that isn't here tonight, I'm not. If you think I'm taking pot shots at anybody that wasn't here this morning, I'm not. I'm not taking pot shots at anybody, and I want to tell you that ahead of time. So don't sit out there and say, well, he's talking about me or this person or that. I'm not. I just want to show you why some people leave the church. I think if I were to put it to all Missionary Baptist churches in general, I would say that this is the reason most of them leave a church. This has to do with what the writer of Hebrews was talking about. You see, the letter written to the church at Hebrews, was a very, very special letter. For those of you listening to this on tape, once again, our powerful motor is kicking in, and our screen is coming down. Once again, you hear the disconnecting click. This is a fantastic new invention that has been passed on by old Indian legends to the pastor. We're now hooking up the screen, and it's making the final connection. Just requires the push of a button and quite a bit of sweat. Now, we're going to talk about five Hebrew exhortations to a church member who is slowly falling away. The main problem in the Hebrew church was people were losing interest in the Word of God. Anytime that people start losing interest in what God's Word says, you're in trouble. Now, when I say losing interest in what God's Word says, I'm primarily meaning, as it applies to their lives and the effect it has on them and how much of it they want to receive. I was born in 1932, as you all know. And I grew up as Jimmy grew up here. Jimmy's a little older than I am. Of course, you can tell that. But church was presented as something that mamas and the papas and the little folks too, well, everybody ought to go to Sunday school. And you got excited about it. And it was full of fun, games, and thrills. And churches have changed since the time of the Apostle Paul. The people in the first New Testament churches were very joyous, happy people. They loved to be together with one another. You had all kinds of personalities. You had quiet people. You had rambunctious people. You had people that were humorous. You had people that never said anything. But they all shared one common likeness. They had Christ living inside them. They loved to be together. And the Word of God was thrilling and exciting to them. Today, we try to run churches as if we've got to provide some type of stimulus or entertainment in order to keep people interested in coming to church. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm going to leave to your judgment because you're the one that's going to make the judgment anyway. But I am going to talk to you about the phases that people go through when they leave a church, and the main reason in this case would be a lack of interest in God's Word, because certainly the Hebrew church is a prime example of a bunch of people that were falling away from the faith. Now, the church at Corinth was, man, they were on fire for the Lord. They were excited. They were speaking in tongues. They were spiritual gifts they were craving after. Man, they would have been like a wild Pentecostal or Assembly of God church, and everybody was getting with it. This one, probably these Hebrews, were people who were just losing interest and gradually stopping coming to church. Five Hebrew exhortations to a church member who is slowly falling away, or I could title this, Phasing Out of God's House by Your Attitude Toward His Word, or I could title it, The Great Falling Away of the Last Days, because it's all commensurate with the time in which we live. Phase one, the believer starts to let the Word of God slip. Paul wrote this to the church made up of these Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Pretty soon after the person is saved, they lose that initial impetus and excitement about God's Word. And they begin to let their attendance, their interest in God's Word, they begin to let what they've heard from God's Word kind of slip. It's kind of like a loose connection. It just, you know, we'll just skip here and we'll skip there and get a little dab. A little dab will do you, like Brill Cream. Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. Brill Cream, looks up in the hair. Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. Simper up a little in your hair. Just a little dab will do you. We don't need all of that. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and obedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? When a person is first saved, and the realization that they don't have to worry about going to hell anymore really hits them, they're pretty excited about all this. It's a wonderful thing. It's a new experience. And they relish it and they love it. And they're willing then to do something for the Lord. And they usually do initially. But after a while, these people hear the things which we have heard. They were letting them slip. They were losing interest. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and he says, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, he said, if you neglect what God gave you, that salvation that he purchased with his son's blood, and if you neglect the one who shed the blood, he said, you're going to get something that you wish you could never have received. He said, you're going to pay a price for it. A lot of people, after they get saved, it gets to be a drag. Because they say, well, he's preaching the same thing all the time. It's the same old thing over and over again. And there are other things they'd rather do. They like to go back to their old ways. They like to go back to the things that gave them pleasure before they became members of the church. And they slowly, gradually slip away. Phase one is when they begin to lose interest in what they hear. The word that was spoken directly by the Son of God, by all the prophets, and God's Spirit recorded it. That's phase one of why people gradually slip away from a church. Phase two, the believer starts to doubt the Word of God. Phase two, the believer starts to doubt the Word of God. Let's go on over to the fourth chapter, verses 11 through 14. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Brothers and sisters in Christ, after you've been saved, the Word of God is supposed to growly, daily affect your life. It's supposed to grow in you. You're supposed to love one another. You're supposed to understand that God is love, as John said, and that God wants to manifest Himself in you. Now, as long as we have churches that will provide a substitute for Christian living, our churches that practice preaching and teaching the Word and asking people to live by it, they're never going to grow. Because if church becomes a social beehive of activity, if it becomes a struggle for membership between who's got the best choir, who's got the most children's activities, who's got the best softball game, who's got the best basketball team, if it becomes something where you have taken everything in the world into the church rather than the church into the world, you can keep people in that type of an environmental setting until the first time they get a bad call in a softball game, and then you won't see them anymore. But the kind of rest that is shown here is spiritual rest that comes to a child of God when they finally realize which side their bread has always been buttered on. They know they're not going to live forever. They know their children aren't going to live forever. And they begin to start to invest their life in future things. That's the second phase in the life of a person who begins to slide away. They begin to doubt that all those future promises of pie in the sky, all those future guarantees of God of a spiritual inheritance that's in heaven, they begin to doubt that it's worth it. And they would rather concentrate on what God has given them here. They get a new car, they get a new home, they get a new job, and everything's going just peachy keen for them. And they begin to find their enjoyment in those things rather than the things God indicated they should put their faith in. And they begin to gradually drift away. Let us labor. It requires an effort after you've been saved to maintain what I call your spiritual integrity toward God. You have to want to learn the things of God. And after a while, if you don't apply them to your life, the fascination of learning them wears off. That's why he says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So the first thing that happens in such a person's life, they let it begin to slip. They miss a Sunday here, they miss a Sunday there, usually starts on Sunday night, sometimes Wednesday night. Pretty soon then you don't see them anymore on Wednesdays, then you don't see them anymore on Sunday night. Then they stop coming to Sunday school, and pretty soon you just see them at preaching service. Then pretty soon you don't see them at all. Now look, I told you when I started this, like you've got the McGees, they're here every Sunday morning. Do I ever get after on them? No, not at all. Before I came here, they weren't coming on Sunday mornings. And so I just thank God they are coming on Sunday mornings. I thank God with all my heart. I'm not going to bother them, and I love them. I'm at least thankful they're coming on Sunday morning. But what I'm talking about here is a pattern. I'm talking about people that at one time, and these Hebrew people were very faithful, they just gradually and slowly began to slip away. How do you hold fast your profession? When you came to Christ and received Him as Savior, it was your profession to the whole world that you were His child, He was your God, your Savior, and your Lord, and you belonged to Him. That's your profession of faith. If you gradually drop out of serving God and His church, which is the local visible assembly God placed here for you to serve in, you're not holding fast your profession, and all those people that knew you got saved and knew at one time you were faithful in that church, as they watch you gradually slip away, you don't hold your profession and you do harm to God's church and to God's people. I saw this happen in Geno. Lord, I love that little booger. Geno was a wonderful little preacher. And I saw Geno gradually stop loving the people in this church. It was gradual. It was slow. He lost interest in God's word. And he lost interest in being around us. He didn't like to be around us anymore. He didn't enjoy being around us. That's one of the symptoms of a person that eventually will stop coming to church altogether. They stop enjoying being around God's children because they feel guilty. The word of God is preached. It keeps convicting them, convicting them, convicting them, making them feel bad, making them feel bad. And they're faced with a choice of whether or not to change or to quit. Some of them hang on for years. But finally, in the face of not being willing to change, not being willing to become more like Christ and less like what came out of their mother's womb, they begin to do something with the word of God that in the beginning, after they had received it and they had been saved, would seem almost unthinkable. Phase three. The believer becomes dull toward the word of God. Now we move on into chapter 5. This was written to a group of people who were doing just what I described to you. And God's Spirit wrote this to try and get the people in the church that were there to realize what was happening so the rest of them wouldn't do it. Phase 3, the believer becomes dull toward the word of God. Hebrews 5, 11 and 12. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, things concerning Christ and His heavenly Father, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you be dull of hearing. They just kind of lose interest. Ah, who cares about that stuff? For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. They ears just become dull of hearing. They don't want to hear it anymore. Because it begins to bring them to the point and realization that what God wants from me is my life. What God wants from me is my heart. What God wants from me is for me to live my life for Him. And God wants me to put His church first, to be faithful to it in attendance, in giving, in loving, in all the things. That's why God put the church here. That's phase three. The believer comes dull toward the word of God. That's exactly what I've observed here in my 18 years. Phase one, the believer starts to let the word of God slip. Phase two, the believer begins to doubt the word of God. Phase three, the believer becomes dull toward the word of God. And as a progression like this occurs, it gets worse and worse. Phase four, the believer no longer desires to hear the word of God. They get to the point where they just don't want to hear it anymore. I'm sick of that. Hebrews 10, 21, 25. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke, to stimulate unto love and to good works. When people stop loving the other people in the church, it's a sign that the first three phases are pretty well implemented in their life. They may shake my hand at the door and say, "I really like that message." But really, many of them are dull of hearing, and they've reached a point in life where it's just expected of them and they say it. But by the time phase four rolls around, this happens. Verse 25 in Hebrews 10, 21 through 25. In phase four, the believer no longer desires to hear the word of God. Not forsaking, and that means ekatalopontes, to utterly abandon. Not to utterly abandon the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. You say, "Well, why are you telling us? Why don't you tell them?" It won't do them any good. That's why. You're left. And that's why I'm telling you. It happened to them and it can happen to you. We have about 197 people on our church roll. Those people on our church roll, if I went out and visited them every day, some of them, and encouraged them to come to church, they never would. And the reason is they've gone through these phases. I've seen this happen time and time and time and time again. I'm not talking about people that change churches. What I'm talking about here are phases that I watch people go through, but eventually they just drop out of church altogether. And once they drop out of church altogether, I want to tell you that it's almost impossible to get them back in. But what's the real reason they dropped out? They lost interest in the Word of God, and instead of being a blessing to them and helping them to grow in love so they could see the love of God manifested toward others in their life, they begin to hate the very thing that God put down here to teach them how to love, because it convicted them so much that they just couldn't take it anymore. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some of us, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Phase five. The believer comes to despise the Word of God. This is the final phase. And once they get in this phase, that's practically a miracle of Almighty God by His Spirit that ever gets them out of it. Once they get in this phase, it's almost impossible to get them back in church. The believer comes to despise the Word of God. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, the raising of the Lord, nor faint when they are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." That word used for forgotten there is not like the forgetful man in Peter. It's an entirely different word. It means they absolutely forget the exhortation and the realization that God wants to raise them. I would say we probably have about 60 people on our church roll who will never serve God again, who will never come into this church building again, who will never go into any other church building again. They have been able to utterly forget the fact that God has a desire to raise them as His children. And for the rest of their life, they're going to remain His children here. But there is no power under heaven that can get them back into church, because God is only going to go so far. And once you come to the point in life where you don't want any more of God's dealings, and you want to settle down in your own little comfortable niche, your own little comfortable lifestyle, This is not necessarily some old boy that's out there drinking like mad. It's not some old boy or some old gal that's out there shacked up. This is not somebody out there that's getting drunk every week, raising hell and cussing like a sailor. In many cases, these are people who have been saved that want to live their life for themselves. They're happy with what they have right here. They've gotten what they dreamed for all their life. They've got their lifestyle. And by cracky, they're going to enjoy that. And God can go take a powder. I'd say probably about 60 people on our church roll would fit into that category. We are firmly engulfed in the great falling away of the last days. And that's accelerated it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away, an apostasia, a drifting away from the faith. There come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Why don't I preach that to these people? Why don't I go out in their homes and tell them that? When I first came here, I did. I didn't know any better. Didn't do a bit of good. None whatsoever. I finally figured out why that's in the Bible. He wrote that to the Hebrews that were still assembling to try and stop them, cut them off at the pass before they took the same track. That's why I'm telling you tonight. Because you're capable of taking the same track. Lord, I'll miss you. I love every one of you here tonight. I'll miss you. I miss those people that I've been talking about. If it sounds like to you I don't love them and I'm a pastor that has no concern and I'm giving them down the river and they're not here to defend themselves. When I was first here, I went to their homes. I visited everybody on this church roll when I first came here twice. Tud went with me. I love all those 60 people I'm talking about. And I tried. But I discovered it does no good whatsoever. And the ones that Paul wrote this to weren't the people that had already left. He wrote to the people that were still there. So that's why it's there. We're in the last days. If there ever was a time that each one of us right here tonight in this building ought to make up our minds that we're not going to let things slip. We're not going to lose interest in the Word of God. We're not going to be dull of hearing. We're not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together because there isn't much time left. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. After 18 years, regardless of whether you think I'm a good preacher, eloquent in my presentation, or an excellent speaker, or whether I do it right, you're going to have to acknowledge that I preach the word. And you've heard John now since they came from Chiquila, you're going to have to acknowledge that he preaches the word. And you're going to have to acknowledge that every one of those teachers back there proclaim God's word. All we can do is preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, teaching, didaskalos. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I can't tell you what's in other churches, but I can tell you what's in this church. This church is full of people that love the word of God. They love sound teaching. They love the teaching of God, the doctrine, the didaskalos. Hebrews 13:22. The final exhortation. I've gone through and showed you the phases that people go through when they drop out. What's my motive? Don't you drop out. You who are listening to me tonight, don't you go through these phases. Paul, or whoever it was that wrote this to the Hebrews, wanted to warn those who were there, whatever phase they were in, stop. Realize what you're doing. turn around and go back and find the joy of your salvation. Realize that you're cutting yourself off from the living Word of Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. And after he had written the entire book, in the very last chapter, he gave the final exhortation. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer, put up with, allow the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. The writer of the book of Hebrews wanted to warn us. You have eyes, you have ears, you have a spiritual mind. As you've gone through these phases, have you seen yourself in any one of them? What does God say to do? Repent. Have a change of mind. Have a change of heart. He says that in love. Now, as you've gone through this, you have ears, you have mind, you have hearts. You love one another. Have people in this church crossed your mind that you see in these phases right now? Are there brothers and sisters in Christ on this church roll right now that as you've watched this, you've thought in your mind, that's a whole lot like, well, do you love them? Then if you do, pray for them. Pray for them that God's Spirit will take that prayer and use it in some way that you and I do not understand to perhaps get them to see what they're doing. Because we're in the last days. And being in the last days, you're going to see more and more falling away from the faith. You're going to see more and more people going to churches where they provide entertainment, excitement, thrills, and enjoyment for the carnal nature. And with the passage of time, it's going to become more and more obvious to the so-called spiritual world that they are the true churches of God. In churches like this, where all we do is preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God and try to exhort people to be like Christ and to live the life that Christ lived, we're just old, dull, dried up, stick-in-the-mud churches that aren't worth going to that the Spirit's left. Well, the Spirit they have in some of these other churches, they can keep. I like the Spirit we have here because we value and honor His Word. So let's make a determination in our own mind and heart as we looked at those phases that these Hebrew brethren were going through. If we're in one of those phases, let's back up and turn around and let's restore the joy of our salvation by repenting and asking God to help us to stay faithful. And if we really care about these people that we've judged to be in these other phases, let's pray for them that they'll be true to the faith for their sake and for the sake of the work. As John and Kay come, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is between you and the Spirit of the Lord. I hope you've paid close attention to what I presented tonight, because I think you'll find that in many cases, not all, but in many cases, the reason that people quit coming to church is simply this. They don't want to make the commitment to serve God that they know His Spirit desires. Many of our churches today have relegated service to God as coming to an entertainment center, where everything is done on a highly scheduled, very eloquent set of principles to where everybody has a good time. They all get to hug one another, holler, praise the Lord, and go home. And they get about as much preaching of the Word of God as the choir director will let the preacher speak. You're going to see more and more and more of that. And many of the people who would have dropped out of this church will attend a church like that regularly and routinely because it's got something that appeals to their carnality that gives their carnal man pleasure. The Christian life has never been an easy life. And worshiping God has never been fun and games. I joke and I laugh and I have a good time when I'm here. And I love being here and I love you and I enjoy life. But we're not going to turn this church into a sideshow, into an entertainment center, so that people can come here because we provide something that appeals to the nature that came out of their mother's womb. If the Word of God and the Spirit of Christ that indwells all believers, and especially is in the midst of His church, if we can't honor Him by preaching and teaching His Word here, and if that isn't good enough for the general public, then my friend, that's all we're going to do here. So whatever phase you're in, I urge you to repent. And whatever phase you think other people may be in, pray for them. Because it's not going to get easier. It's going to get more difficult. And the Christian life is not one filled with fun and games. It's a dedicated life where the person derives his satisfaction out of believing that he has pleased God. Think about that as we have this invitation. 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7